lest we fall. That means a lot of people who believe they stand in salvation, if they do not take heed to the lessons, will fall. That's the lesson, but people like to say, no, no, no. No, 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 that can't happen. And while I agree that if God has chosen you to do salvation and his grace is upon you, there is nothing that can separate you from his love. Yet there are those who seem. They seem to the generous and benevolent spirited Christian who wants to just say, yes, you tell me you're a believer and I'm going to take you at your word. You are a believer and a brother and part of the church. Yet in the sight of God, they only seem to be so. They are false brethren, entered in unawares. They are the synagogue of Satan. I mean, as this idea develops in my mind, because as I teach, things are revealed to me. You know, when I go into start teaching Revelation, honestly, I have no idea. I don't prepare notes. I don't do anything. I don't study. I know the words. And I trust to the Spirit of God to reveal to me. But, you know, this idea that they are the synagogue of Satan, these false brethren. These false churches, where Satan's seat is. Where is Satan's seat? It is in the synagogue of Satan. His throne is mounted there. And perhaps when they all come together in their ecumenical movements that they are so intent on, you know, unifying over, because the true church is united in the Spirit of God. We are already united in one spirit. They cannot trust to the same thing, but must unite on the earth, because that is where their power, authority, and all the things that have to do with their church spring. They spring from the earth because they are earthly institutions, earthly ministers from earthly schools whose instruction is of the earth and their focus is to the earth and their blessings are earthly and their lusts are earthly and their wisdom is earthly. That will be, maybe it is the Catholic Church or some other church under which they will all unite, and the seat of Satan's authority will be planted in that place. And they will all come and bow before it, before their master, the devil, who is Lord of their synagogue, in the name of Christ.
We do not want to take liberty with his patience. We don't want to use our liberty as a cause for sin, as an occasion to transgress. Well, he won't care. He's patient. Let us not think that. On the other hand, I don't want people to go around constantly fearing for their salvation or feeling like God is looming over them every time they make a mistake. He isn't. He is for you. And by whatever means you attain these promises, just count it joy. You know, don't take your sin lightly, because his blood paid for it. But, on the other hand, don't doubt his grace. Put your faith, when you put your faith in him, that means I want you to believe in him, in his goodness, and what, and that he is doing good for you. Not to live in fear and constant torment. That's not what he intended. But neither should we be complacent. I hope I made that clear. Not complacent, but zealous. Zealous for good things. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let your zeal turn into something negative. Don't let your zeal for good things turn inward against yourself and start believing, contrary to faith, that, oh, God is against me. I can't ever do right. Well, you know, God did not choose you because you were better than other people. He chose you for his own reasons, which I cannot comment on. Have faith in him. You love good things. That's good. God gave that to you. The wicked don't weep over their sins. The careless don't care. And whenever I see someone start flagellating themselves over their sins, I think, and they start talking about how, well, you know, I feel like God isn't with me anymore because I'm so bad. I think, like, well, that's, you know, a broken and a contrite heart God does not despise. God does not despise those who are sorry for their sins. So there's sort of you can kind of see there's a sort of a delicate balance there between a proper amount of remorse and zeal for righteousness, and then not wanting to go too far to the point where you start doubting in his goodness. Don't doubt his goodness.
hast thou brought us out into this wilderness to die? But, you know, at the moment, sometimes you give yourself over to overmuch sorrow about some transgression you've made. When you get over it, let your faith be renewed in him. Continue to put your trust in him. In due time, all the deliverance you've hoped and prayed for will come. This I know.
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Sit with him in his throne. What's that mean? Well, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know, we will reign with him, it says. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. We are fellow heirs with him. We are co-heirs with him through the faith. We are partakers of the divine nature, and we also inherit with him this kingdom. So he appoints us to rule with him. So sitting with him in his throne is not so much a physical, like, here, have a ride, kiddies, but it's more of an allusion to a fact that we will actually share the rule. That's what it means. It's like a figure of speech. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Christ, it says, all things are put under his feet, but we do not yet see all things put under his feet. Sometimes God speaks of things that are not as though they already are, because from his perspective, once he declares it to be so, it is so. Even if in human reckoning it takes 2,000 years. To God, 2,000 years is nothing. So, he has sat down and put all things under his feet, even though on the earth, yet it seems like it hasn't happened. But it is happening. It will happen. But a moment in the reckoning of God is 1,000 years as has a day, and a day is 1,000 years. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, the refrain, over and over. Let him hear. If you have an ear, let him hear. If you can understand, if you have the Spirit of God, let these things be interpreted. Let them be understandable, that the great truths of the gospel might come forward, and also that revelation might be open to your mind, that you might be comforted in it and know what to expect, at least to the degree which we are required to understand at this time.